We are still early, yeah? Another 8 minutes. Huh? So in the meantime, those who haven't received the notes, huh, you can have a copy here. Yeah? You can take for Brother Gandhio. Yeah? Taken, huh? Okay. Okay, this was the notes. We didn't have the time to photostat the last Thursday. Yeah? So we had it photostated. After that Thursday class, we had started sharing at Wu Ping Ching Se class. Huh? Then Tuesday class also we started. So today, maybe see how it goes. Huh? If you don't have any reporting of meditation or Q&A, then we can use this as a discussion topic. Huh? This note you must keep. Huh? It is very, very useful. And actually, a lot of very important understanding about meditation is all inside here. So you read through, you will understand. Yeah? Okay? Then, if you got any question, you can email to me if you want to, so that you can have the question type written, then we can share it. Yeah? Mm. How many of you have read the thing? Oh, good. So at least there are a few. Huh? The rest, better spend some time. Huh? If you don't read it through, there are many important pointers towards the Dhamma and the meditation that you may not be able to understand. Mm. But you're lucky because that April, I think it was an April Sunday, 6th of April, we got this sharing at Wu Ping Ching Se, and it was recorded. Normally, the next session, they will only prepare short notes for me, pointers, so that I will write some short notes. Then the rest, you have to complement it with the recording to understand the whole sharing. But that one was so unique. The person, the lady who supposed to prepare pointer, decided to transcribe that whole portion on meditation. So that was the reason why it came out to be so many pages. I think 18 to 19 pages. Originally it was 22. Then we changed the margin a bit so that we can save on some paper. So we still end up in 19 pages. And these are very useful sharings. If you read through, if you can develop the understanding, you can progress very, very fast, exceptionally fast. Yes, it talks about how most meditator or cultivator got trapped. They don't understand what sati is. That is the main problem. Then there is no clear understanding of what the Buddha's teaching is all about. What is meditation according to the Buddha? Here. Lily. That night, one lady asked me to send a soft copy to her. Who is she? Now no need, now got hard copy. There was a lady after the class approached me, asked for soft copy. I said, I try not to send out the soft copy because there is a danger of what they call computer, you know. After you put into the soft copy, then you're not careful. Sometimes by the clicking of the mouse, the word can run on. Some paragraph also run on. So you're not careful, after you use ready, run away, you don't know, you share with your friend, then your friend really cannot understand. Then somebody else also did the same mistake. Then after a long time, the whole thing become corrupted. So that is the danger. So that's why I try not to send out. Even send out also have to be in PDF file or what. PDF, you cannot amend, you cannot change. So if that format is safe, then it's okay. Oh, convert. You convert it. You better convert it to PDF. So that whoever wants to edit or what, they have to reverse back the file. So that this PDF file, when it goes out for sharing, you won't make mistake. All this will not happen. It's PDF. Not meant to edit or whatever. We still got 2-3 minutes. My client, I think it's June. June 27. I also forgot already. Yeah, I agreed with Brother Gan earlier. What was the topic? I also cannot remember what topic. Yeah, something to do with mindfulness, I think. I think it's importance of mindfulness to walk the path of Dhamma, something like that. Come. You can have your notes. Come, Jasmine. Oh, is it? The notes, Oh, next block, no electricity, So, we were in a way lucky, Otherwise, we had to meditate straight away. So, when there is no light, you have to use your inner eye to see, Understand? Because living beings, we rely on our senses to experience things, understand? But the blind, they have to cope with life, understand? So somehow they also can manage. But actually, when you understand, your inner nature actually can see more clearly than the physical senses. If you use the inner awareness to feel, then later on even to see, you will be surprised. Without eye, you can see on, because my consciousness came out before when I was young, very, very young. My whole body was down there. Actually, I was so tired. I was sleeping like a log. You can have this note. Then, because of that, my craving force that bind this consciousness to the body start to dissipate now. Because I was totally exhausted until no more physical strength. Then that craving force starts to dissipate. At the time, I don't know what was meditation. I was only 8 or 9 years old. Then this craving force that dissipate, all of a sudden, release that consciousness. That's how I come to know that this consciousness inside is different. Then when it get released, that time very funny, I don't know what is meditation, I don't even know what it is, but there was this awareness inside there Naturally I have And no fear, nothing And I can witness the whole process Then how this consciousness come out? Then when it come out, I was above. I saw my whole body down there. Then I saw my brother came in. But my physical eye was closed down there. But I can see, I can hear, all my senses are very clear. Then I can hear my brother saying something, trying to look for something. Then walking out. As he walked out, I called him now. He cannot hear me. Then I realized, not right already. Then I realized I'm up there. My body was down there. Then I tried to go into my body. I couldn't. I couldn't get control of my body. It's like it doesn't allow that consciousness to go in anymore, because I actually severed the whole thing and came out. Because the craving force all gone, they call the silver cord also gone. Actually, you cannot return there. You're supposed to die. But that time, I was so young, about 8-9 years old, I already have that awareness and I already know how to die. So that's why when I went in, I couldn't went in. Then I give it a push. I struggle. Then I went in. The moment I went in and gained control of this body, then my senses start to operate again. Then immediately I want to make sure one thing, it's not a dream. Yeah, your notes, Joyce. Yeah. So I went and looked for my dead brother and asked him, did you went into the room and say all those things and come out? He said, yes, but how can you know you were sleeping like a log? Can't even move. I said, never mind, not important. I just want to know that it's not a dream. Actually, I knew it was not a dream, but that time I was so young. So I just want to make sure. Then later on, as I grew up, as I went to the university, then as this nature starts to develop the interest to meditate, or then when I understood what meditation is, then I understand what this form of mind is, then I can relate back, then I know what happened. Then I can remember how those craving force dissipate. When you die, when you lost all this, what they call life force and physical force, or what they call physical energy, the craving force will dissipate. But most human beings, you have delusion and karmic negativity, you cannot die like that one. Because karma will take over, understand? Then you will go into the what they call unconscious or subconscious consciousness. That one is karmically conditional, and you cannot do anything. That's why you don't hope for last minute. Last minute aware, then last thought, beautiful one, good birth, you forget about it. Because it's not like that one. Karma actually is the one that you have to be careful. That's why the Buddha said, we are all born out of karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So you have a lot of tendency, habitual tendency, good or bad is the same. Before you die, it will manifest. But if you are a cultivator, if you have wisdom and understanding, if you have mindfulness, if you have sati, you will know how to die. Yeah. And then you realize no one died. Nothing died. That is the difference, big difference. Then if you know how to cease and realize the cessation of form and mind, you will understand the whole thing. Okay? 5 minutes passed. We have to start. Okay, we will have our puja. So compose your mind, develop your sadhana, your faith. Then with your virya, you pay respect mindfully. Then we will start the Theravada puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dutiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, tatiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, pānātipātā vairamane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi, adinadana vairamane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi, kāmesu micchācarā vairamane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi, Usawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya majapamadatana Ramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Who was the lady who just came in last? You got the notes? Yes. This was the last Thursday notes I share. It's very useful. You can have another one. Anybody don't have the notes? There are still quite a number here. You can have it. Okay, tonight, I think everybody here before, So, we can straight away start our meditation, You got any question or not? Anybody not clear about how to develop this training of mind to meditate? Nobody? Then we can start, Lily, help to off the light, So that you can start your meditation straight away, I just briefly run through generally. Those who already know how to meditate, you straight away go and develop it. Then for those who are still not so sure or new, I just briefly run through. If you still got hindrance, if you are yet to train your mind, if you yet to become what they call heedful, means your mind still wanders a lot, wanders off, think a lot, then difficult to settle down, means the hindrance are there. Means your mind has mental hindrance that hinders you from becoming peaceful, calm, and aware. So the Buddha call it mental hindrances. This hindrance, you don't try to fight it. You only need to reverse it through cultivating the five spiritual faculties. That's why you cultivate Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Saddha is faith. Then Virya is spiritual zeal. Then Sati is mindfulness. So when you do your puja, when we compose our mind, develop the faith, the Virya will arise. And when you pay respect mindfully, Sati will arise. So these are the spiritual faculty that can help you counter the hindrance. The other way to go about doing it is to reverse the heedless thinking through a skillful means. That's why we recommend mind sweeping method. The key to meditation is not to think, just relax and silent. But you cannot be silent because of your mental hindrance. So what you need to do is you cultivate this so-called mind sweeping method. You just feel, relax, don't think. It will decondition your heedless thinking. Then from there you become more calm, more peaceful, and then from there you start. So the mind sweeping method is very useful. What you do is you silence your mind, body and mind relax. Then you maintain attention at your forehead. Close your eye, maintain attention at your forehead. Then you just feel. Don't think, just feel. Any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just relax them all. And you continue this exercise, move it down to your eye muscle, do the same, feel, relax. All of your ciliary muscle, eye muscle, feel it soothingly relax. Then go to your, what they call, facial muscle. Facial muscle, you do the same. You feel every part, then relax them. After you have relaxed the facial muscle, you can actually continue to your neck, shoulder, hand, and the whole body, sweep it down to your leg. But for those who have problem relaxing, you can combine with metta or loving kindness. Metta or loving kindness is very useful. It will develop a very wholesome state of mind. You can focus or reflect. Means visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. You need to smile. From your heart, you smile. When you can smile, you are very relaxed. Otherwise, you cannot smile. So radiate a radiant smile. Visualize yourself smiling. Then you radiate this loving kindness to yourself by reciting, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness deep within your heart. Then you continue to radiate, may this body and mind of mine be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel physically no more suffering, mentally no more suffering. Then may it too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. When you wish yourself having this state of mind, you must feel it. Feel it, the whole mind, free from enmity, free from ill will and untrouble. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful. You feel the peace, the love within you. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. You can continue with this metta if you want. Reflect and recall to mind somebody close to you, your loved ones. Could be your parents, somebody you have affection or care and concern for. You wish them the same. May my loved ones do. Be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness deep within your heart and radiate to them. Then you can visualize them having a radiant smile. Then again, you radiate. May my loved ones too be free from all suffering. Feel it and radiate from your heart. Free from all physical and mental suffering. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all too be free from all harms and danger. Then may their hearts too be without fear, without worry and anxiety. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can continue this metta to all other beings. May all Kayanamitas and beings within this vicinity of Subhanjaya, known and unknown, seen and unseen, together with all our Kayanamitas, may they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be free from all enmity, ill will and untrouble. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts too. Then you can continue to radiate to all the other beings throughout the entire planet, the world, then to the solar system, to our galaxy, then all beings within the entire universe, wishing them the same. May all beings within the entire existence be free from all suffering, free from all physical and mental suffering. May they all too be well and happy. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then after that, you come back to your breathing. You should be more calm, more peaceful. Then you just silence your mind. Then you can meditate. Straight away you meditate. Develop anapanasati to anchor your mind. So that this mind does not wander off anymore. So that it stay with the breathing. When you just silent and aware, the mind and the breathing will move as one. No thought. You just silent everything. Then develop the inner peace, the inner calm and mindfulness. If you are still not able to do that, then you continue the mind sweeping method. Feel your neck, feel your shoulder, relax every part. Feel your hand, relax every part. Then back to shoulder. Then after that, feel your heart, your chest area. Silence your mind. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just silent and stay there for as long as you can. Even you can hear the ticking of the clock, you just silent, anchor it to the heart, then be aware of whatever vibration or phenomena that arise. So the ticking of the clock also very clear. You can just silent and allow the awareness to be with the phenomena. Just aware, keep on aware, silent. Don't try to make any, what they call, interpretation of it, just silent. Be with your inner nature, inner awareness. Then whatever that arises through your senses, just aware. The ticking of the clock is your hearing consciousness, actually. It will arise. Then if you continue to relax and just allow, it will just be aware. Then you can synchronize it to your heart. Then you just stay there. Then for those who still want to do the mind sweeping method, they can continue. Move it down to your stomach, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Leg, feel and relax. Then you reverse the whole mind sweeping method. And this is to train your mind not to think, so that you will just feel and relax. It will decondition your heedless thinking and make you more calm and more peaceful. So after a few rounds, one or two rounds, you will feel more calm, more relaxed and more peaceful. And then you train your mind, anchor it to any object of meditation that suits you, that you find it conducive for you to develop the mindfulness. If you don't have any object of meditation, then you use your breathing. Because throughout the day, you have to breathe in order to live. So you just silence your mind and feel the breathing in front of your nostril. Just silent and feel, like you feel your forehead. Then the mind will detect the breathing. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, aware, means mind and the breath move as one, aware. Then breathing out, aware, mind and the breath as one, without any words. So you continue to train. Every time this mind wanders off, when the mindfulness or awareness of the in and out breath is lost, patiently bring it back. You have to continue to patiently bring it back and allow this training to stabilize. Not long, after a while, your anapanasati will stabilize. Then you will start to experience a very different mind. A mind that is mindful, aware, without thought. It will start to transform you into a more and more calm state of mind. Then you will experience all of the jhanic factors of vitaka, vichara, which is applied thought, sustained thought, leading to the what they call mindfulness, sati. And when sati is developed without any thought, then piti will arise. Piti is a type of spiritual joy, spiritual calmness, spiritual rapture that you can feel. You will feel very good, very peaceful, very calm. then some people, they will start to absorb into the mind. Then no thought. You become very peaceful, very calm. Then continue to allow this mindfulness to go on. Continue to relax and continue to let it stabilize. Then after a while, the PT will also transform to become a more refined state of sukha. And when you experience sukha, it's a type of mental bliss, very blissful. You feel very intense bliss. If it's the first time, you will like it a lot because you never experienced such great peace, such great joy. No amount of mundane happiness or peace can equal to this meditative peace. But whatever that state is, like the Buddha said, they are all conditioned arising, impermanent. So sooner or later, after you experience it many times, it becomes like more and more normal, no longer special. Then you continue to relax, aware and silent, until this mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful and very still. Then piti and sukha will also transform into what they call paucity. Paucity is a silent mind. Paucity is the stillness, the silence, which is very near the true mind. So you can continue to allow the mind to be, to stay in the state of paucity, which is tranquility, stillness of mind. Then it will actually become so silent and so still until finally it will connect and touch your true mind or your nature. During that time, you will understand what is going on. Then you just relax and silent, no need to do anything. Then mind will enter sati. During that time, wherever you place this mind, it is full of awareness, very sensitive. It can experience many, many things. So you just silent, continue to be relaxed and let things be. Just let the nature develop the understanding through that silent mind. Then all of your five aggregate of form and mind that arise and pass away, the dependent origination of all the mind states, you will start to see them clearly within your own form and mind. Then you will understand what the Buddha meant by the dependent origination. Then later on, as you develop more stability of this mindfulness and able to carry into the daily life, then you will start to witness a lot of things. You will start to witness the five hindrances of mind, the five spiritual faculties, the three evil roots, the seven factors of enlightenment. They will all arise within your own form and mind. And you will know the condition behind their arising and how they condition you into various mind states, and how through delusion and wrong view, you stir your mind. You become emotional. You become fearful. Then you will understand clearly the Four Noble Truths that the Buddha talked about. Then you will also understand clearly why the Buddha said, mind make ade, mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything comes to be. All this, you will start to understand. Okay, now I will let you continue your meditation. After about another, maybe 10 to 15 minutes, I will ring the bell. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Okay. for those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. The mind that is trained has this inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. The trained mind is very different. It is very heedful most of the time, aware. Whereas the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot, wanders off, have a lot of heedless thinking. Then it arises a lot of mental states that trigger off fear, worry, anxiety. All these are wrong thoughts. Because you lack heedfulness, you lack mindfulness, you lack understanding. That's why this conditioned thought, born of your wrong views, born of your delusion, sakayadhiti, continue to arise within your own form of mind. Not until you have straightened your view, not until you have trained your this mundane mind or thinking mind to be mindful, to be aware. It's very difficult to have a peaceful mind, a calm mind. So, bear in mind that this training that you are doing here is just the beginning of cultivating the mind. So as this cultivation become more and more stable, your mind become more and more peaceful, more and more calm, less and less heedless thinking. So if you want to know you have progress or not, you check how much thought you have throughout the day. If throughout the day you have less and less thought, means you have progress. Then apart from the thought, you also have to measure using your spiritual faculty. How much faith have you developed through the Buddha Dharma, through understanding who the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching is? Can that give you the faith? Then how you develop the second spiritual faculty of virya. After the faith, sadha, you have to develop virya, spiritual zeal, or tenacity to walk this way through understanding how important this teaching is and how wonderful the Buddha is. He is the fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom, virtue. You can say he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born 2600 years ago. So all this can stabilize your faith, develop the virya, so that you determine to walk this way. Then to cultivate sati or mindfulness, you need to develop the faith so that it will bring forth the composed and calm mind to make you mindful. When you are not restless, not heedless, without the hindrance, you can become mindful more easily. Then you develop it through your puja. When you pay respect, silence your body and mind, then mind and body move as one. You pay respect. You fully aware without thought, just go down, then come up. Then you want to recite homage to the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened. You recite first, then only you mindfully pay respect. When you become skillful, you can, as you recite mindfully, the body and mind also mindfully goes down. You can do it that way too. So all this training is very useful. So everything you do, if you develop mindfulness, sati can be developed very fast. That's why the first foundation of mindfulness is kaya nupassana. Kaya nupassana means not only you anchor it to your breathing, which is one aspect of your kaya, you can anchor to the four posture too. Throughout the day, you either stand, walk, sit, or lie down. So when you are in this posture, be mindful, body and mind as one. Then as you walk, body and mind as one. And you continue to do like that, you develop more and more continuity of mindfulness, daily mindfulness. Then the last part is sati sampajana, means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement within the present moment. Means you connect all the activity between standing, sitting, walking, and lying down. That will complete your whole training. Means throughout the day, in any posture, you will be able to develop this training of mind to be mindful, as long as your body and mind is one. Just like what Faku San, Master Sun Yan, used to teach their student. He used the Mandarin translation, the Mandarin instruction. So the Mandarin instruction when translated is exactly like what I share with you. He said, wherever your body is, your mind must also be there. Means body and mind as one. So in Mandarin, he instructed the student, he said, Sun, which is the body, 在哪里? Sing 就在哪里, means your body and mind as one. Then the other criteria is relax. Totally relax, your whole form and mind relax. Do not resist anything. Do not react to anything, just silent. And the understanding will come. So mindfulness can be very easy when you understand. Just body and mind as one. Then you need to know the two specific type of mindfulness. One is a general spacious awareness without a center, without an egoic center of the I and the me. The other one is a general specific phenomenal awareness where you need to live life. You need to be aware within the moment. So within the moment when you are aware of certain specific phenomena, means your mind, your awareness and the phenomena move as one, then this one allow you to live. Because as you aware, you want to perceive, you want to know, you can know. Then you want to be aware, you can again. And most of the time you oscillate between awareness and perception, awareness and perception, with very little thinking. You seldom need to think. Whatever that you need to be aware of, through the perception you will understand. Then you will not judge, you will not react, you will not stir your mind. You will not, like before, heedlessly react or create hindrance through sensual desire, ill will, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. All this will cease to be. Then your mind will not stir, means become emotional, become greedy. Then there is no more like before, easily develop the positive and negative craving for sense experience. It will start to have the wisdom to see things as they are, to accept the reality of the moment, to accord and to flow and to arise when conditions permit. Then you can live life, experience all of the wonders and beauties of life moment to moment with awareness, with a calm, peaceful and serene mind. Such a being is a true human being. A true human being that has understanding. Such a mind doesn't suffer anymore. It's very peaceful, very tranquil, very still and silent most of the time. It can have joy, it can have happiness, but it is not emotional. It has understanding, it can laugh. It can have laughter, but fully aware within, no longer heedless. Most of the time it's connected to the inner nature, fully aware. From the awareness it acts, from the awareness it understands, from the awareness it sees. That's why there is clarity. And with that wisdom behind, that form and mind will know how to live life. That form and mind will not be deluded anymore. It will not suffer anymore. It will not get itself entangled anymore. It will understand the purpose of thought, what this form and mind is all about. Yeah. Why is it karmically conditional for you to use, and it's not really what you think you are? All this, the form and mind will understand, because it has awakened to the universal characteristics of all phenomena. The Buddha called it anicchang dukkang anatta, or impermanent suffering state and non-self or empty nature of all phenomena in existence. Okay, that summarizes what you need to know. Yeah? Then I think you look at the whiteboard. I think Suyan has written something there. This one is the announcement. I think Achan Achalo is coming end of June. He wants to specially again meet up with all Kayanamitas again. He wants to meet up with the Tuesday class and the Thursday class separately. I think Wu Pingjingse also, he will go there, the Sunday class, if I'm not wrong. I forgot the date already. But Wu Pingjingse one is not at night, I think. He stayed there. He stayed there. Then Miss Lee say there is a afternoon slot or morning slot, I forgot already. She mentioned. So anyway, Thursday class is 26th, Thursday. The last Thursday of June, I think 26th of June. Sui An say have to start early because next morning they have to leave early for Penang, I think, for the retreat. They are going to have this Penang that Ananda Krishnan's son's bungalow. The son, one of them also monk by the name of Achan, what already? Sri Panyo, yes. I cannot remember people's name. Achan Sri Panyo's brother's bungalow, I think. So quite a number are going, but I don't know the actual figure. So we should all rejoice with their wholesomeness. Then apart from that, I think Tuesday class is 24th. He is coming on the 24th to meet up with us. Then after that, he will go down to Penang to conduct a retreat. I think he will be giving one or two talks when he was around here, I think. I don't know where is the venue. You will have to check the program. They will send out the notice later. I think Sri An has sent out the WhatsApp there about the retreat. Then about the talk, maybe, I don't know, Joyce, they all may send out. She is here, you can ask her. Okay, now we come back to our meditation. Second session, we will open it up for Q&A, meditation reporting. So make use of this. So anybody wants to report their meditation? Yeah, Brother Tay can, Yes.
When you mentioned that the as you meditate and relaxed, then focus the mind on the heart region.
Not focus, you just aware there.
Aware, alright.
Because the mind need anchor and the thought. You have not stabilized to the stage where you don't need the object of meditation. You will reach a point where you will know, and the form and mind will know, because that mindfulness has become so stable that it has become pasati. You know what is pasati? Pasati is tranquility, stillness of mind. Means this mind, just like in the Diamond Sutta, you know what the Diamond Sutta says? The mind must have no. You all haven't heard of the Diamond Sutta. What is the famous quote? Hui Neng heard this, he awakened straight away. What did he say? The mind must have no dwelling. He just heard this. Mind must have no dwelling. You know what is dwelling, What is dwelling? where you stay, right? Yeah? The mind must have no dwelling. It must not stay anywhere. The moment this was spoken by one of the devotees of fifth patriarch, Huineng, being an illiterate, a woodcutter, he just awakened like that. He became enlightened. Because his mind was like that, no dwelling. Because when he was born without the mundane mind. That's why that mundane mind not there. His mind doesn't dwell anywhere. His mind is constantly with the nature, fully aware, spacious, general spacious awareness. That's what his true mind is. That's why he understands straight away. And he can go beyond mind. That's why you look at the poem he used to counter Saint Seal. He said, Bohi is not a tree. Because he knew, Puti Peng Wu Su. Because the real wisdom is not a tree. Wisdom got no form, no mind. It's beyond form and mind. Then, Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai means the mind is neither the mirror bright nor the stand. Well, that is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the worldly mind, the condition arising mind, which Sun Siu mistaken for the true mind. Well, he used that mind to meditate. That's why thought-based meditation all trapped there. That's why he said, polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. But the light, the dust is defilement. The mind creates defilement. Wholesome, unwholesome, pure and evil, good and evil. All this is mind's creation through discrimination. So when you think that that mind is like a mirror bright on a stand, means you are looking at the mundane mind. Well, this mind continue to create, to arise through perception, through feeling, through thinking, through conditioning. So if you fail to understand this, you will never penetrate. So just now, Brother Day's question is very good. He said, I mentioned, after you train your mind, you meditate, he used the word, you focus on your heart. Don't focus. Just relax and silent and just aware there. Because you can anchor it to your heartbeat. Asana. And that one, you need to have more refined mindfulness. Because your normal mindfulness, you cannot feel your heartbeat on. Understand? You agree? Doctor also needs stethoscope to feel your heartbeat. But this one, no need anything. You just silent, you can feel it. Very clear. Initially, like very gross. Pupa, pupa, very loud one. You ask those who have done it. Then after that, it's slow down. Slow down. So many can do that. Even the ticking of the clock. You know how loud or not? It's very loud. But the moment you're silent, it will arise. Why? But the moment you are silent, there is no thinking. Nothing to cloud you. You are not like distracted by anything. You are not lost in thought, preoccupied with thinking or whatever. So your mind has clarity, just aware. And when it's aware, whatever phenomena that arise within the conditioned world, through your senses, you can detect. Understand? And the awareness is very clear. Yeah. So I told him, initially, most of you, even when your mindfulness reach another level of more refined state, you still need to anchor it, otherwise it can still wander off, or it can still develop thinking. So what you need to do is when you anchor it to the heartbeat or to any vibration, it stay there, understand? It stay there. Then you got something for this mind to do. Then it just aware, aware. Okay. This one is a more refined type of mind sweeping method. It stay there and just aware. And it's more fine than breathing. Your breathing is very gross, actually. Very, very gross. Even when the breathing becomes very subtle, it's still very gross. It's only when you can go to the heart, because it's near the gateway, it will start to slow down. until like no movement, nothing. So still, so silent. Then what happened? The mind suddenly realized it doesn't need an anchor. Understand? It doesn't need any object of meditation to stay silent, to stay quiet. You understand? Means this mind is already in sati. Understand? Mind already in sati. When your mind has got no dwelling, mind has got no dwelling. It means mind is already in sati. When you reach this state, I will sadhu you. You definitely will become enlightened after that. Because when your mind can become like that, you actually have touched your nature. But you may not know. And it will start to happen, cessation. Sometimes for a moment, split second. But enough to trigger off the wisdom to become certain stage of sainthood. But more important is, when you reach this state, the mind is already in sati. You no need object of meditation. You are already aware, naturally aware. At that time, your daily mindfulness is totally different. That time, anything you see, that mind is with that phenomenon. That mind is already in awareness. That anything you hear is fully aware. Not like before. It can be with the phenomenon that anything you taste, tactile feel or think or smell is the same. But that mind in sati will be aware of the whole thing. Then when it sees something also, it sees with awareness on. It's fully aware. Then if you want to perceive, it can perceive. If you don't want to perceive, no need to perceive one. Then it cannot think one. It's like this one. Answer. Very difficult to follow. Because if you are not in that state, you cannot really understand. But if you have done it, I tell you, you will rejoice like anything. You totally transform. That's why that true mindfulness is different. The true sati is different. That's why during the early day, I find it so difficult to explain to you. Because most of you are not ready. But now it's different. Now many are ready. Many can actually not far from what I explained. They can reach this state quite fast. And some of them experience it already, especially at the retreat. But you cannot stabilize it. You cannot develop it until it becomes a part of you, like your nature. That one take time, not so easy. Even after you have transformed and become either Sotapanna, Sakadagami or Anagami, you still have to go through that various transformation phase to actually reach this state. This one is for the higher being who walk the higher path. Those who actually go the full, what they call Bodhisattva way, to become Sammasambuddha. Then they train their mind differently. But not difficult, understand not? That's why you must have faith, sadha, then develop your virya, then diligently train. This will bring about the condition for me to share. Just now before I came, I was flicking through this Fagusana that Sun Yan Fasi. He passed away in the year 2009, I think 5 years ago. There's a book that they actually gave for free distribution when we were there. So I saw the book that describes something about his meditation experience on it. Then I saw one part. That's why the bowing is very useful. He was sharing this experience. Initially when he was young, he was training himself very, very diligently. Then he realized he couldn't master the sutta. He find it very difficult to remember the sutta and understand it, no? Then his teacher told him one thing, no? He said, very likely you got certain karmic obstruction. So he asked him to ask for forgiveness. Then he asked him to, like, bow to Kuan Yin, Bodhisattva. And he said, you must repent and bow. The teacher recommend 500 times a day. You know, 500 times a day, 1 month, you bow how many times? Huh? 15,000, yeah. What did I tell you? Master Sun Hua asked us to bow how many times? All the disciples. 10,000 bow only in 3 months. This guy did it 15,000 bow in 1 month. And he did for 3 months. Oh. And in his own word, you know what he wrote? After that 3 months, he completely transformed. He completely different. Then he has this clarity of mind because of the bowing, the mindfulness came. Then you know what happened? All the sutta become so clear. Not only he can master it, he can understand it. And that was how he transformed, actually. Yeah. Then later on, when he went for the Pi Guan, he became very clear. So don't underestimate bowing. That's why I used to tell you, I also started with that, actually. Yeah. Instead of 3 months, 10,000 bow, I did it in less than 2 months, I remember. 1 month. I remember that time I used the guy, about 300 bow a day. 300 bow a day, 9,000 in 1 month. Correct? So I remember I used that. But sometime, towards the end, I exceeded, I think. But I make it a minimum 300. Because initially I count. As I do, I count. Then I realize within 1 minute, I can do so many bow. So if I do for 10 minutes, I would achieve so many bow. That's how I know. Then I break into interval, twice a day, then sometimes 3 times a day, you just do. Then, because that time was fulfilled Master Sun Hua's requirement to be his disciple, otherwise he said, your refuge got no meaning, you are still not his disciple. So because of that I did. Then as I did, I realized the mindfulness just come. Then I already got some form of mindfulness before that, but this one speed up the thing. Then the whole movement, really body and mind as one without thought. Then as you come out also like slow motion. That's why I know what sati is, was because when sati arise, the form and mind were known. Because that state of sati is very different, no thought. Then body and mind as one. Everything is body and mind as one. That's why those who understand, they will explain to you. They may use different words. But the what they call the gist of it is the same. Okay? So regarding your question now, you understand, huh? So don't focus. Just relax and silent. Then if you can detect, stay there. Means allow the silent mind to be just relaxed and aware. Away. Just like Krishnamurti said, he defined awareness as the silent, silent, choiceless observation of what is. Remember? Remember? Awareness is what? Can somebody repeat? Awareness is what? Silent. Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. Very good. Observation of what is. And this definition, you must develop the understanding. You see, like I explained at Wu Ping Ching, sir, when you study physics and chemistry, you must get the definition right. When you understand the definition, then you can understand. It's just like the word acceleration. It's a new word. It's a new concept when you study physics. then they put in the formula, rate of change of velocity is acceleration. So from that definition, you must understand what acceleration is. Then they will tell you, force is equals to what? Physics, that's your. I so long haven't studied already. Force is equals to what? Mass times? Acceleration. See, I'm regular. So, acceleration is rate of change of velocity. So all this, when you understand, your physics very good on it, isn't it? So meditation is the same now. If you cannot understand what is a T or what is awareness, how are you going to understand the teaching? Isn't it? Because everything needs a T. Isn't it? The Noble Eightfold Path needs a T. Four foundation of mindfulness needs a T. To be heedful, you need a T. Isn't it? Then to be aware of your mental intention, you need sati and mindfulness. This is all over, no? Like the Buddha said, sati is the first factor of enlightenment, no? You must have that, no? Otherwise, you cannot start, no? You cannot investigate Dhamma, which is second factor of enlightenment. So, if you cannot even understand what sati is, you sure cannot develop it. True or not? Asana. So, learn to remember this. Not that I want you to commit to memory. No. I want you to understand, you know, what is awareness. Awareness is a silent, means what? Silent mind. Understand? No? Silent means no thought, no chattering. Then, choiceless observation. What is choiceless? What is choiceless? You don't make choice. Means what? You don't discriminate what you see. Understand? No? What you hear. Understand? No? Don't go and keep on, no? Right and wrong, good and bad, pleasant and pleasant. That's why you react, understand? No? That's why you have sensual desire and craving, the hindrance of mind. Because you make choice, understand? No? This choiceless doesn't mean you don't make decision, no, understand? No? Understand? No? You don't make choice, no? When sense experience arise, you don't go and make a choice, understand? No? Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. So choiceless, what is observation? Just aware. You just, the awareness, aware, means observe, attentively observe, but before the perception, before the knowing, before the arising of thought. That's why you observe what? Observation of the reality. What is the reality. Not what your thought tell you, not what your views and opinion condition you to see. Understand? Then you don't see, understand? Then you are seeing with a conditioned mind. Then you are not listening, because you are listening with a views and opinion, with a conditioned mind again, understand? That's why the Zen say, if your cup is full, means you got a lot of views and opinion, understand? Then people cannot pour in the tea for you to receive, understand? But you think you know. Then whatever that is poured, overflow out, because you refuse to accept because you think you know. And your views and opinion obstruct you from listening, from developing the understanding. That's why meditation is about understanding. When you understand what sati or awareness is, then you're just silent. Then you call it choiceless awareness, remember? The Burmese, they like this word, choiceless awareness. But I don't think they understand what that word is. Means you don't make choice, Asana. You just aware, silent. Yeah. But how many can do that? Observation of what is. What is the reality of the moment. Means before the labeling, before the words, before the arising of the aggregate of mind, before your mind stir. Asana. Okay, hopefully it is clear. Huh? So your question, answer? Good. Use the mic.
The other part is that where some others who practice mention of solar plexus. Is it okay. Also at the same spot?
No, no. Solar plexus is Tan Tien, further down.
So
you forget about all this solar plexus or Tan Tien because that one is focusing there. Understand? No? That's why I say you don't focus, understand? No? When you focus means what? this bring about a very important point. You know what is focusing or not? Ah, it's like concentrate down there, you know. Understand? You focus down there, you know. Like you keep on sending energy there, you know. Understand? Very awareness is just silent. You don't send any mental energy there, you know. Whereas the Qigong guy, hey, please don't get me wrong. Don't go and say Brother Teo say this. Qigong has its meaning, understand? But this is what they want. They want to develop energy field. They want to strengthen their qi, their health, all things. It has its usage. But if you want to develop wisdom, you don't go and interfere. You don't go and tamper and play with energy field. Otherwise, it will hinder you, understand? But people have a choice, understand? So don't go and quote me and say, you cannot focus, you cannot concentrate. No such thing, understand? Even during the Buddha's time, he also developed all the jhana. But he know how to come out of it later on and develop the daily mindfulness, the four foundation. Then he also awakened, understand? It doesn't mean people who focus, they cannot. Last time when I mentioned this, it was the early day, all those who do Qigong and panic, oh, but I have to give up. No, you can do your yoga, except you don't go and store your energy there. Understand? You know what is focus now and then? Focus means, I can rub this, force, mass acceleration, not important. So now we change to focus. Focus means, you send your energy. This is thought energy. Your thought energy. There. So if they focus at the Tan Tien, or the solar plexus, they like note. You know what is note? Noting is you send your energy there, understand? You keep on sending your energy there, understand? Then they say opening chakra. A lot of people thought they do it at the third eye, do it at the heart. That's why when you focus, it becomes like that. Understand? You don't focus. You just relax away. Aware means silent. Don't send your energy anywhere. Just silent. Understand? Then you conserve all of your, what they call, life force energy, spiritual energy. And this one can go into your nature and transform from inside. When it is from inside, the pure energy open up all these chakra. That is the real opening of chakra. If you do it external with your thought, you know it become what? It becomes tempering. You know what is tempering, You go and temper with it. Is it the right spelling, Tempering. Where you go and temper with it, DM. DM. Tempering. Means you go and play with it. You know why it's called tempering? Because your thought energy, before you become enlightened, you sure got delusion, isn't it? Sakkaya ditti, isn't it? So what did the Taoist say? Your thought has yin-yang, understand? Your energy is not pure, not balanced. So this thought energy has yin and yang. Because it's not balanced. You don't have wisdom, understand? So when yin-yang energy, which is not balanced, born of delusion, born of ignorance and avijja, and you use it to open, you are tempering with it. Where you send in this thought energy and temper with that chakra. It will release energy field. That's why sometimes the kundalini will open up. Understand? The head chakra, all this will open up. But what happened to them? They suffer like anything. Sometimes they have this phenomenon of very cold, very chill, sometimes so hot until I was told, and they witnessed it. Lady, you know, who play with this in Singapore, in the aircon room meditating, you know, so hot she got to take off her clothes. You know. And this is a serious matter, you know, really happening. You know. My Singapore friend told me, he said, it's just extremely hot because they touch that what they call nerve center. That trigger off the yang energy, hot energy. The yin is cold. So this yin-yang when you don't have wisdom, it's not balanced. So when you use this thought and send it to your chakra or your whatever, Tan Tian or what, of course it will develop energy. Tan Tian there is more safe because this is earth energy. So the earth energy got less of this yin-yang imbalance. We have this earth energy, you know what is this earth energy? Your solar plexus. Man has evolved until this stage. You know what is this? You all don't know much about energy field. This one is sexual drive, understand? A lot of earthly energy, understand? That's why those who do the Tan Tian, very powerful on their chi, understand? If you play with energy field, you go and you go and develop all this one. Then after that, there is an energy field that prevent you from becoming sensitive, prevent you from becoming aware. Your higher awareness, you cannot develop. That's why it has its pitfall. Understand? All this, you try not to know. Don't try to know. But if some of you in your past, you have done this before, then you get into some problem, and you can see me. You can talk to me. Then I teach you how to reverse it out. Okay? But if you totally new to this, don't go and read book and get excited. Because this psychic thing can draw you on, I tell you. It has a lot of what they call psychic phenomena. It can make you like very powerful. You look at the Qigong people. You have seen them. Their Qi is very powerful. But finally, they also die. No matter how powerful your Qi is. But this is conditioned state. Understand? So, coming back to your question, you were asking me what already? To your solar plexus. It's not the same. But they are quite near. But whatever it is, you don't go and focus. Focus means you send thought energy there. And wherever you send your thought energy, the energy will build up there. Understand? You will know one. Those who do rising falling last time, you know they get gastric. A lot of them get gastric. But the energy build up there. Then even anapanasati, if you're not careful, you go into absorption, energy build up here. That's why they develop jhana. The energy push up from the crown here. Wherever you focus, energy will build up. Thought energy will build up. Even the third eye, even your whatever they call the Kundalini chakra, all the chakra, even they can do it at the sacral there. Behind your buttock there, also they got chakra. Your whole body is actually consists of nadis and chakra. You know what is the difference between nadis and chakra? Well, you're all very, very good. Never play with all this. I also don't know all this one. But funny, 1986 to 1992, they sent me the book come, everything come. After they know that I meditate, then this Singapore guy, you know what he sent me? All the Hindu practice on, all the Kundalini, everything. But very funny, that time I was ready. Then I read, I can understand. I'm not scared. Then I know what they do. Then I know how they get caught. Then they talk about the Pingala and I don't know, there are two. One is yin and yang one. The whole of this, what they call chakras and nadis. So these two words, chakras are major nerve centers. Major nerve centers. You know what is centers, Like it control your parasympathetic nerve. You know a parasympathetic nerve? You have a vibration inside you, understand? And all these parasympathetic nerves are controlled by the seven major chakras. And they say our universe also got seven constellations similar to this chakra like that, but on a very much bigger scale. That's why the whole of this universe vibrate. We are the miniature of this universe. Anasana. That's why from nature we arise, we also have these seven chakras. So these are the major nerve centers. Then you got nadis. Nadis are minor nerve centers. So these are the two terms very commonly used by what they call cultivator who develop psychic ability or energy field. Okay, this is for knowledge. Yeah? No need to know and no need to go and even find out. If you have interest, curious, you have to be very careful. Yeah? Okay? Okay, any more questions? We still got 35 minutes. Ah, yeah. Pass the mic to Lilia. Right there. Yeah. Push it up all the way. Push it out all the way.
Gratitude.
Yes.
Just now when I was meditating, I could hear the clock ticking.
Yes.
As well as to feel my heartbeat.
Very good.
So I was just aware of both.
Yeah.
And I was doing two things at the same time.
It's okay one. But you just recite at the heart, silent and just relax. Then when you are aware there, the ticking was synchronized.
Yes.
It was synchronized.
It's just like multitasking.
Yeah, multitasking. Then it was synchronized. You just relax and silent. Then, whichever that is more prominent, you will hear it. Understand?
Yeah.
But if you decide to just aware of the heartbeat, there is a little bit of this will involved, then you stay there. Even now, the ticking keep on coming. They're very loud, that guy. That one is very loud. So you must have this ability to silence. Then, whatever you want to be aware, specific phenomenal awareness can go there. When it go there, it will stay there and just aware there. That's why it can go into the brain inside and just aware inside there.
But I'm a bit confused because the mind can only do one thing at a time.
Correct.
So my mind can do two things at a time.
No, it's not two things. It's because your mind is so fast. Awareness is so fast. It's like you can multitask. But actually, it's always one at a time. Understand not? When you are aware, you cannot think. Understand not? When you are aware and you perceive, like the ticking of the clock, is a perception already. Because the moment you perceive, you are not aware of other things. You just phenomenal awareness there. But the moment you aware of your heartbeat, again you are there. Understand not? That one is not there. But when you try to stay at the heart and allow the two to synchronize, there is like the two alternate, but it's still one at a time. Split second. One at a time. Because it's like the Buddha said, within the strike of a lightning, which is just a split second, you know how many consciousness can go by or not? You know how many? Billions. Billions of consciousness within one split second. Just imagine. That's why the Sammasambuddha, within that moment, it can be aware of billions of phenomena. So all these are described in the Abhidhamma teaching also. So mind is something that you have yet to actually explore. Because what you have been using is only the very small aspect of the thinking mind, the mundane mind. It brings about the condition for me to re-explain this one. You remember at the Cameron Highland retreat? Sorry. You got two type of mind, huh? Maybe a rub off this one. Okay. There are two types of mind. Of mind. What are the two types? One is, the first type is you use a lot on. Every day you use. But you don't quite understand what it is. Oh, very good. I can use that space. The first one is mundane mind. You know what is mundane, isn't it? Mundane people, mundane mind. The Mahayana word is better, no? Fan ren, Fan ren, means mundane people. They got this mundane mind. Fan sing. Fan lo ge fan ya hai fan. Understand? Fan lo ye, fan. So the Mandarin got very good meaning, no? Mundane and worry, they carry the same pronunciation, no? So they call it fan sing, fan ren sing means mundane mind. So this one is the, what is this mind? This one is the you try. This one is what? What is this? You think a lot, isn't it? Correct? So this is a thinking mind, understand? Then what else? Never mind. Thinking. Which one? Oh, this one no ink one, this one I try. Monday mind. Thinking mind. What else? What else? Your dependent origination. What is it? Condition arising mind. Understand or? Condition arising mind. Which is your what? What is this? Again, dependent origination. The second aspect of a human being. Second aspect of the five degree of form and mind. Okay. What is this? This is your five aggregate of form and mind. Understand? The second aspect of the five aggregate. Understand? The first one is as a human being. You have a physical body. Then you have the mind with the four aggregate trapped inside. So the human being is the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. But within dependent origination, when the Buddha talked about the nama rupa, the five aggregate of form, it's the mental five aggregate of form and mind. Understand? The mental form goes in through perception. So this is your mental five aggregates of form and mind. Understand? So Monday mind now you know. Thinking mind, condition arising mind, five aggregate of form and mind, the mental. Understand? So this one you have been using for so long, but you never really understood what this is. This is the one that make you deluded, heedless, and create a lot of suffering for you. Because before you become enlightened, you have wrong view, sakkayaditti. So you, with the sakkayaditti, with the ignorant, you will always arise the wrong thought. Understand? So wrong thought condition one. Your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and your suffering. So because of that, you need to develop the understanding of Dhamma to constantly straighten your view. Every time you straighten your view, you got less delusion, understand? Less wrong thought, understand? And then you become more peaceful, less suffering, less misery, less of this attachment, clinging, grasping, understand? Then you become more heedful, less heedless, understand? That's how you slowly transform through the Dhamma. Understand? This is the one you use a lot. And this is a very small aspect of your mind, you know. Understand? It's just a very, very minute aspect of your true mind. You know? Whereas the other one is what? What is the second one? Your true mind or supramundane mind. Your true mind or Supra mundane mind, huh? This is the opposite of mundane, right? Huh? This one has its nature, and this one is very powerful, understand? But this one, the trouble, it cannot come out, understand? It cannot come out like this form and mind to come and live life, understand? But when you are connected to it through the form and mind, it has the power to see things as they are, to develop the wisdom and the understanding and liberate this mind. That's why this mind, without the true mind's understanding, wisdom, this one remains always deluded. Understand? That's why meditation is to silence your mind to connect back to this true mind. This one, don't think. Understand? Cannot talk. Understand? No word, nothing. And this one cannot come out. Understand? But this one can only be connected through a form of mind. Understand? That's why it's not easy. And most people die before knowing they have this mind. Or they never know. But they never touch this. They never even experience the true silence. That's why as Buddhists you are so lucky. But not all Buddhists. Only those who can understand. So, this one, the scientists know very little about it. And this one is beyond thought. Beyond mind. Beyond thought. Wow, how come suddenly the ink got so much? Oh, okay. Beyond thought and beyond mind. Sorry, beyond time, I think. Time. Beyond thought and beyond time. You know what is thought or not? This one is thought based. Thought based. Because this one is energy field, understand not? Energy field within the field of thought. Within the field of thought. So what happened is, thought based is energy. Energy is what? Energy is matter, understand? Agree or not? Agree, huh? From who? Einstein. E equals? Mong cha cha one, understand? That's why energy is mass times the speed of light square. That's why within this whiteboard, within this duster, within this pen, within our form, these are all trapped metal energy. Understand? That's why you are very powerful. But you don't know. These are trapped energy. Cannot release. Understand? Nuclear energy, they create nuclear reactions. Small quantity of uranium can give rise to nuclear bomb. Uranium bomb. Understand? You know how much energy can be released. That's why energy is matter. So when you come to meditation, everything that is within the field of thought is energy field, is matter. But when you reach consciousness, you know what happened? This one is beyond thought, beyond time, means beyond matter. Understand? And the higher speed, the fastest known entity within matter, the field of thought is what? C, the speed of light. Clear or not? Speed of light. And now scientists already told you, there are certain world systems, galaxies, they are 10 to 15 billion light years away. You know how far is that? Traveling at the speed of light, let's say 1 light year away, it needs 1 billion light years, sorry. 1 billion light years. Even you travel at the speed of light, it takes you 1 billion years to reach those galaxies. So you think speed of light very fast, huh? How fast is it? Huh? Speed of light is how fast? 186,000 miles per second, no? Not per hour, no? And you know how fast is it, no? 186,000 miles per second, no? And yet, even with this speed, it takes you 1 billion years to reach there, no? So, within the field of thought, your mundane mind is only a very small speck. It's because you can only do things like that, understand or not? If let's say we become very advanced, then we can have this mobile phone, connect to that galaxy. You on the phone, you call, ringing tone, 1 billion years to reach there. No? Then you say, hello, you wait for 1 billion years to receive your voice. No? Then he say, yes, I'm here, 1 billion years back. No? Like that means very slow, isn't it? That's why the field of thought is nothing compared to consciousness. Consciousness, no limitation of thought, understand? No limitation of matter. It can manifest anywhere, anytime. That's why it's beyond time. It can just manifest anywhere. Split second, it will be there. Understand? That's why we talk about, the scientists also know there is a thing such as singularity. You heard of this word, huh? Singularity. Anybody heard of this word? Yeah? Singularity. This is the source of all things. We are scientists also know. You can go back to this singularity from the first instant when this universe comes to be. It can be like the scientist says, the Big Bang or what. From that singularity, our universe expanded. This one record everything. So they have this, what they call theory. They say, this is the source of all things. That's why the Buddha, they all, once they develop this ability to return to their original nature, the true nature, which is the oneness nature, they call it the source. Source of all things. That's why they become omniscient. They know the past, present, and the future. They can understand all creation. Understand? So that's why this part, if you don't develop the mindfulness-based meditation to connect, this one, as good as you don't know anything. You haven't even touched it. But after you touch it, it's so beautiful. This one is so powerful. It can manifest like anything. Then this one, when you arise a pure thought with this understanding, this thought become very powerful. It like can override other conditions to manifest. That's why the Buddhas and Bodhisattva, when they make vow, it enters the nature's law. And it's very powerful. But the limitation of nature's law is you cannot use it for negativity and evil. Or craving. It has to be pure. Then it can be used. That's why everything has its condition behind. So you cannot say, oh, like that, so powerful. When you become like that, you can play with it. No, when you are here, you will have that understanding. And you cannot do it. You know it's not meant to be. Understand? It cannot be like that one. So you will understand all this. But the form and mind is not you. Understand? The nature within, which is connected, is your nature, is also not a human being, understand? Not a person, understand? That's why sabbe dhamma anatta, understand? Everything is non-self. There is no permanent, unchanging entity, even within the supramundane. That's why there is no such thing as the ultimate self, the true self, Atman and all those things. But other religions, we must respect them, because they believe in that, understand? So whatever it is, you investigate on your own, you find out yourself. Then it will develop understanding for you. So now clear the two types of mind. So you have been actually playing with the mundane mind, the thinking mind, conditioned arising mind, the five aggregate of form and mind. And this one is the one that has the evil roots, has the hindrance. But if you train it, develop it, it will have the spiritual faculties, the factors of enlightenment. Understand? The wisdom. That's why spiritual faculty are saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. They're all of the, what they call, wholesome state of mind, which can become your right thought. Understand? Then with the right view, you can develop the right thought, right speech. And then, thought become useful. Understand? Thought become beautiful, meaningful. Then you can use it to live life. Because when the user of thought has wisdom, what happened? Thought become? What happened? When the user of thought has wisdom, thought become? Right thought, isn't it? Beneficial thought, isn't it? Correct? Before you are enlightened, the right thought is right according to who? Right according to you, understand? And right according to you may not be the true right according to nature's law. Unless you have already developed the understanding and straightened your view, then most of the time you have got it somewhere there, or quite correct. And then your thought become more and more refined, more and more straightened. Then you slowly, slowly transform. As you straighten your view, you will transform, you will change. Because you will not be like before, still so deluded, still grasp, hold, and cling on to all those things. When you start to develop the Dhamma, they said the Dhamma is very unique, very beautiful. It is so penetrative and so powerful. It can liberate the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conditioned arising mind, until it awakens, until it ceases to be. And then it connects to the true nature, the true mind. And this one will have the direct seeing. Then it keep on understanding things. Then it keep on understanding how this form and mind get entangled, get into trouble. Then all of what the Buddha say, the dependent origination, you see very clearly. Each and every of the link become very clear. That's why the actual meditation, which is the four foundation of mindfulness, if you do it correctly, you will see all this. You will witness all this. Then you will know the two mind very clearly, very distinctly. Then no more doubt. Then no need to check with book, no need to check with anyone. Then you just understand the form and mind, just understand. Okay? Ah, yes. I use the mic for the recording. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. When sati arises, there's no feeling at all.
Okay, I ask you back easier. Then you learn faster. What is feeling? What is feeling? What is feeling? We start from basic. Five aggregate for my mind. What are the five aggregate of form and mind? Five aggregate of form and mind. What are they? We rub off this. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. What are they? What are they? Rupa is what? Mental form and physical form, two types of form. Then Vedana is what? This is what you're talking about, isn't it? So what is this? Feeling is what? Aggregates of mind. Understand? Aggregate of mind. Sorry, spelling. Very difficult to read. Oh, here got the word. Enough, no need to write. So, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana. Always remember, all these are aggregate of mind. So when the aggregate of mind arise, there is no more sati, understand not? Sati is before the knowing. So your question is actually correct, but you are doubtful, understand not? That's why from the way you ask, I know you don't understand. That's why I want you to understand now. It's very clear, isn't it? If they are aggregate of mind, means what? They are conditioned arising mind, understand not? How did feeling arise? No contact, no feeling. True or not? You study dependent origination, isn't it? Paticca samuppadaya, Vedana paccaya what? No. Paksat paccaya vedana. Paksat is what? Contact, understand not? Contact condition, feeling. That feeling condition what? If all this also you don't know, you want to meditate. I tell you. Actually, indirectly, you are wasting time. Because all this, by now, you should be very clear, the dependent origin. Otherwise, you cannot understand. Because if the Buddha laid down already, means what? It is like a car. The prototype already there. So to improve on the prototype is so easy there. You just go in and see the car, drive there, improve on it in there. So meditation is the same. When dependent origination is already proclaimed or expounded to you by the Buddha, what you need to do is to investigate into it, understand not? Reflect, contemplate, and check in your meditation. Why did the Buddha say this? Is it true? Avijja paccaya sankhara. Then what is sankhara? Then based on what I share and explain to you, it's even more easy to understand not? Because I already simplify it and make it like layman term. You can understand easily. Where I explain it. The text never explained. And the text talk about the three period of time. So you investigate, then you check with your own meditative experience, you will understand all this. Then no need to remember. Without contact, feeling does not arise. Means what? Feeling is dependent originating. Understand? Condition arising. So it was never there. Understand? Whereas sati is your true mind. The awareness which is always there. The essence of mind. That's why you ask that question, actually the answer is correct. When there is sati, there is no feeling. But why you still ask? Means you don't understand. Understand? Means you didn't investigate. You didn't find out. And if you want answer, if I have gullibly answer you, means I deceive you. Understand? That's why I knew. You didn't understand. That's why you asked. And you have that question correctly spelled out. When there is sati, there is no feeling. But why no feeling? You must investigate. And when you understand, it's so clear. I always say awareness is before the knowing. What is knowing? It's all in the nose. Knowing is when you perceive something, you know, isn't it? When you feel something, you know, isn't it? When you start to think, you create knowing. Understand? When you become conscious, then through perception, you again perceive and know. So all this is the aggregate of mind. Understand? So awareness is before the knowing, before the arising of the aggregate of mind. So when you understand that, then you check with Krishnamurti code, you realize exactly the same. Choiceless observation means you just observe before the labeling. Understand? Of what is means what? The reality. There, nobody say it's a flower. Understand? Nobody say this color, that color. All these are words, concepts. Understand? Like the baby, when they see things as they are, you ask the baby if they can talk. They will tell you, Understand? Yeah, they see things as they are. They don't have memory. They don't have word. They don't have conditioning. Understand? But when you live life, you cannot live like that. You have to live with the memory, with the idea, with the concept, everything. And yet, you can see things as they are. And that is what enlightenment is all about. Understand? If like a baby, you can see things as they are, but you cannot live. Understand? Your baby haven't developed the brain. Understand? And they are not conditioned yet. That's why the secret of life is not easy to understand. That's why you need the Sammasambuddha to come to teach this Dhamma, to reveal to the world this Dhamma, which is very, very unique, very powerful, and can bring about great transformation, and can bring about great understanding of life. So in a way, you should rejoice. Huh? You are so lucky, so blessed, and so fortunate to be born as a Buddhist during the era where the Dhamma is there, where the teaching is still there. The rest is up to you. If you choose to allow this window to pass, it's your choice. Understand? Okay? I answer your question, huh? Okay. Yeah, right. They pass the mic to him. Go back and read the notes. They are all there.
These, you mentioned about the true mind, the supreme mundane mind. The Buddha said that all existence have these three characteristics.
Yes.
The anicca, dukkha, and
yes.
Anatta.
Yes.
Anatta being non-self. The manifestation of the true mind, when it manifests, it is because that the thought of self is not there, does not arise, it's disappeared, and in that sense, it is non-self.
Okay. What is your question? No, what is your question?
My question is,
you already mentioned the statement, the fact. What is your question? What is it that you want to understand?
The question is that the true mind is said to be non-self. It's because of the absence of the thought of self.
Oh, okay. Actually, that part is just a small aspect of anatta. Self-delusion is just a small aspect of anatta. The real meaning of anatta is very deep. Very, very deep. It's not only non-self. You remember what the Buddha said or not? He said, rupang anicchang, rupang anatta. Form is also anatta. This table is a form, isn't it? Where got self? Anatta is not only non-self. Non-self is just one small aspect of anatta. No? But the book, every time, translates as non-self. Non-self is only one small aspect of anatta. Self-delusion, sakaya ditti, is just a small aspect of avijja. You know what is avijja? Overall ignorance. But one of the 10 factors is sakaya ditti, self-delusion. And this is only a small part. That's why after your self-delusion gone, first stage of sainthood, you remember anagami? They still have minor conceit. Mana, that is still a very, very minor atta, ego, self. Understand? The sotapan, the gross one, because they know this form and mind, condition arising. And that one they understand. That's why they know that form and mind is not me. But mental, the minor conceit, the ego at the mental, they cannot break. Even anagami cannot break. That's why minor conceit still inside there. Arahant, break. All the five factors. So what happened is, this is the unconditioned. You remember what the Buddha said? If it's not because of the existence of Nibbana, which is the unconditioned, escape from the conditioned world is impossible. Remember? So this one is condition arising. This is the condition arising world. Understand? Condition arising world. So this is the conditioned world. Whereas this one is the unconditioned. That's why I say this one, no word, nothing, cannot come out one. No condition inside there one. No knowing, nothing one. You cannot talk about it. You cannot describe it. The moment you arise a thought to describe, you are within the conditioned mind, thought base. That's why you cannot describe this one. That's why Nibbana, you cannot talk. You can use word to describe. But the form and mind that realize it
if when it come out, you will know what the thing is. That it will show to you clearly how creation comes about. How from there everything come about. Then how when it sees, how finally it returned to the source. It returned to that state of Nibbana. And Nibbana is not a mind. It's the unconditioned. That's why the mind realizes itself and sees. Even the pure awareness, the pure consciousness all sees. Not only no aggregate of mind. Pure awareness and consciousness also sees. That's why it's very, very different. And you don't try to understand it with your rational thinking mind. Understand? You can try very, very hard to develop the understanding. But no amount of thought-based reasoning or rationalization can develop the understanding. This one need to be realized. That's why the third noble truth, second turning and third turning, what did the Buddha say? What is the third noble truth? Cessation of form and mind. Second turning? This cessation of form and mind is to be realized. And the third turning is this cessation of form and mind has been realized. Not until you have done that, you cannot understand. That's why the enlightened one who has done the three turning, they will understand. And this one you cannot talk, I'm not sure. But because for sharing the Dhamma, we need to use word to express it. That's why we have to try our very best. But at the moment, don't try to get any understanding from me, because when your mind is not completely silent, you can't even touch it. So it's very difficult. Even when you can connect and touch, there is still the pure awareness. The awareness is still there. And that is actually the surface of that nature. You have not gone into the oneness, the source. That's why Nibbana has not been realized yet. That's why in the Mahayana they say, Ming Xing, Jian Xing. When your mind has this bright illumination, clarity, when wisdom arises, when it understands, it sees, then it realizes the nature. That's why Mahayana got a very good saying when we were in Fakusan. They always use this word, Ming Xing, Jian Xing. Xing is your true nature. So to realize that true mind, you must silence everything. Until not only no thought, everything sees the form of mind. Then the pure awareness, the consciousness, all sees. And you cannot talk about it. Well, when it happens, many things happen. Many things happen. Then it ceases. And the funny thing is, after that, because the life force is still what they call the arahant with residue, means not time for them to die yet. Understand? The karmic force, the life force, can still come back. Understand? So when the condition is right, it will come back. That's why arahant that go into cessation, they can still come back to consciousness. And the five aggregate of form and mind can still live, can still manifest. Understand? Yeah? But don't try to understand now. Later maybe. Okay, 10:31. We end. So you go back and read this note. Just now I explained one. Most of them are inside this note. Not all. Especially her question about the sati one. It's described clearly inside there. I go step by step explain to people what sati is. You can go, Jasmine. Yeah, no problem. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Transform merits. Then after that, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Then you can make your aspiration. Okay. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akka sata ca pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakkhantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to the departed one and those who can receive them. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, now we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. And may the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, finally you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end.